Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day.
Back at the Best Hour Studios.
Can we talk about that clap?
How great it was?
Yeah, that was a good clap, dude.
What?
Can we talk about how you have the clap?
Damn! That was
what's
in
that
private.
Movie?
We all spoke about
what's that.
What's
that movie when he was like, hey, what aisle's the crab cream in? You know what I'm talking about?
Gladys!
What?
Is crab medicine aisle three or aisle four?
Is the clap still a thing?
I'm sure.
I feel like that, like.
I'm sure that chlamydia doesn't just go away from a human race, yeah.
I feel like that was like. Scurvy.
Do we have any oranges? I think I got a scurvy coming on.
Like, yeah. We don't get it anymore.
No, I don't think it's like scurvy. I don't think it's anything like scurvy.
Eat an orange. You won't have the clap.
Get a crotch rot, yeah.
Speaking of it.
Crotch rot.
If there's an outbreak at that at your box.
This show is going downhill quickly.
Attendance may suffer.
There you go. Yeah,
especially
you know
if they got it from
you
one
know
of
what
your coaches.
You know what will cause attendance to suffer? An outbreak of chlamydia for sure.
It did at Albany CrossFit. Let me tell you, 2008 was a crazy time.
The good news is it's curable. What are we talking about?
We are talking about the ideal class experience.
That's right. Sorry,
which excludes
solely. Chlamydia.
Minimal STDs in an ideal class.
For sure. Yeah. You have none actually. We get this question a lot. Just be like, hey, and this kind of bleeds over into how do I eval my coaches? And did you just pull a Joel there?
I did, Joel.
Did.
He
did.
As I was doing it.
Anybody who's ever been on a call with Joel, you'll hear somebody will say something that Joel likes and Joel will go,
I love it, and I wish he would, like, you need that following you around all day.
Yeah,
or, like, you get...
Good thought.
On, like, some of the Monday calls or small group calls.
Yeah.
So, like, when Joby's on, for example, he laughs at a lot of my jokes.
You gotta find that one person
like,
to give you the good vibes.
I just watch him, because I'm like, I don't care what anybody else is.
Joby's with me.
And I need you to follow me around and laugh at all my jokes.
No, but the ideal class experience, and it's... So... Poor execution of core offering is it's the easiest thing to fix, by the way. Meaning I have the most control of that. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that it's easy to do, but it's the thing I have the most control over, which is like making sure that my classes get executed the way that I want them to. It's also your number one retention tool. Now, let's kick this off real quickly with what would be an indicator that I might not be doing this well? Okay. So we're talking about beforehand. We've talked about it on the podcast
not
before.
Not executing your class.
What would be an indicator of that? Okay.
That it's not happening at your box.
Yeah. And we talk about attendance, but what do we mean when we say attendance, right? You're just like, attendance, people aren't coming. To be more specific, and I built this out. We built it out for Wattify already. So if you're watching this, the Best Hour dashboard is live in Wattify. I'm pretty sure by the time this drops, it is available to everybody. We did a soft launch. I think they launched it to 500 or 700 gyms immediately.
Yeah, people are loving it.
Well, I spent a lot of time developing it and like really digging into the numbers based on what our gyms were doing, what I was doing, and testing and all these other things. But
I'm pitching the Fern board.
The Fern board. And then now, if you're not a Wattify user, we're also working with the Push Press team to get it something very similar in there because at the end of the day...
The Fern board.
At the end of the day, what I care about, what we care about at Best Hour is that all affiliates have access to this information so they can run their boxes as best as humanly possible. And I like the team at Wattify and I really like the guys at Push Press and that's great. I want them all to be pushing affiliates to be better. So hopefully you'll have it available in both places very soon. But one of the things that we look at is percentage of active members who attend daily. Okay. Now, looking at this for a long enough period of time, I'll also tell you that there is a bit of a sliding scale here, right? But let's just say that the bottom end is 40%, meaning if it is less than 40%, you have a problem. Now, who does that apply to? That typically applies to gyms that are of larger scale. So call it 200 plus. Okay. If you have a smaller gym, let's say that it's 100 or less, we would probably want to see something closer to 60%. Okay. So there's a little bit of variance in there because as you grow, inherently the percentage of attendance just based on operational capacity, quite frankly, will probably diminish, right? It's not an absolute statement, but call it 40 to 60%. And you'll find your sweet spot. And the first thing with any metric is just start to measure it. But I can tell you without a doubt, if you have less than 40, no matter where you're at, you have problems. You may not be realizing the problems right now, but they are somewhere in the near to distant future. So that is how I would start to outline, okay, are my classes being executed the way that I want to? If they're not, then that will be presented to me in the form of low percentage of attendance. Okay, that's how, because people either don't like the coaching staff or they don't like the programming. It's the only two reasons they wouldn't show up for the most part. Take out the outliers that are like, oh, they got a busy schedule and they fucking moved and they went on vacation. Those are not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the people who are telling you that shit because they don't want to tell you that they don't like your thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is a huge percentage of those people that we just talked about, right? They're telling you that as an excuse for they don't want to tell you that they don't like either the coaching staff or they don't like the program.
If they're having a good time,
they're coming.
No matter how busy their schedule is, coming. No matter what's going on.
So call it 40 to 60%. Now, how do I start to fix that becomes the question. Okay. And one of the things that anytime at CrossFit Rife, we start to rehone in on one of those two pieces, either the programming or the coaching. And I mean this as an absolute statement.
Attendance goes up.
Anytime we do that. And I mean, I see the uptick every single time we rehone in on it.
Do you think it's some members come back or the ones that are there come in more or both?
It's both. Yeah, it's both.
Because people aren't just like, well, I've not been coming in, but I hear they're
correct.
Working.
Correct.
But maybe their buddy tells them.
Or we just start to communicate it differently. But the point is like, it is the food that you serve at your gym, right? Like people got to like the food if they're going to come back. Again, the restaurant analogies are endless. So let's take programming off the table for right now. Let's just talk about, because you posted something the other day, just like, hey, coaching trumps programming or something along those lines. One of those.
It was ours. Cody posted it.
Okay, maybe it was. I thought it was.
Seemed to, yeah. Okay. Something I said.
One of those stupid things that you wrote. So let's talk just about coaching. So how do I start to create the ideal class experience? And I think this is where I think we, and this actually is, I think I would put we as in you and I and maybe some other people that are, we'll call it more experienced coaches in the industry, may have gotten wrong early on.
I've 100%.
Putting too much emphasis on the technical aspect of coaching. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and keep in mind, we weren't even good enough to be good at the technical, so it was more like just bad coaching. Right? Like,
fair enough,
like,
yeah.
Because I know people like, oh, but you always say like it's presence and that. It is, but like you go to your level one and that's your first exposure. Back then, you're like, I need to coach like these guys. And you're not equipped to do it like them. So it just is like badgering people for an hour.
Right.
Yelling at them. But going back to the ideal class experience, the why with why affiliate owners need to do it is ultimately retention.
Retention,
right?
Which
you know,
where
those little things of people aren't coming in, like that will ultimately lead to. You're talking about not attendance, but when people fall under that 40%,
they're canceling.
People are canceling.
Yeah, yeah. It's an immediate indicator of a future problem, right? Yeah, this is when we created the Best Hour dashboard. The whole premise behind it was most of the thing that people really nerd out and they hyper focus on, they're all lag metrics, meaning they happened in the past. There's not shit I can do about them. It's an aggregate of past information that tells me like this is on the average of the things that have happened in the past whatever 12 to 18 months. I want lead indicators. I want lead metrics that tell me the future, mm-hmm. right? My average client value tells me nothing about the future. Tells me only things about the past. My attendance this week tells me what my revenue will very likely look like at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we made that dashboard, that's what it's for. So it's made so that you can drive the business proactively, not look at what happened in the past. You need to know those things. You should know those things. I would much prefer to be in the seat of being able to predict them into the future based on looking at a whole slew of metrics that I know will very, very, very strongly correlate to the metrics that I want to see on the back end.
Well, and it could be detrimental. You know your revenue for October. You think everything's going smoothly for November. Meanwhile, you're missing the fact that attendance is down.
That's my point.
Right. So
right.
It's like you could
what
be
do
thinking,
I do about it? Right.
Right. You could be thinking,
we're
going to
crush, and then.
And then those are the people like, what happened? I just
lost
13 people.
Right. And I'm just like, right. And anytime that happens, and it happens all the time, we have to backtrack. There was a series of decisions or things that I opted not to do that created a chain reaction that led me to this point. Mm-hmm. And okay, so ignorance is bliss, but at some point ignorance can no longer be the excuse. You just don't care enough to go back and look at some of these things. So attendance, that is largely driven by like how the classes are run combined with like what does the programming look like. Put programming off to the side for right now. We'll just talk about, like what is the experience.
So you recognize this and you're like, hey, we need to do something on the floor. We need to create the ideal class experience.
What does that mean?
It means creating a standard across the board for what happens during the 60 minutes of class.
Correct. But I think more importantly, who is the person that we're talking about in this scenario? Because a lot of times we think about the ideal class experiences for the coach.
No, it's for the members. It's correct. So they know.
And this is the point. This is the whole point. And this is where I say you and I, many people got it wrong. We're just like, well, we're really good coaches.
Yeah.
And you need to give this progression and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, listen, like you should be good at giving any number of progressions. But if they're not having a good time, I don't give a rat's ass what progression you're using. So when we're talking about the ideal class experience, we are talking about the ideal class for the client. What would their experience be like? So
let me give you a real good, quick example.
I doubt it's going to be good, but I doubt it will be good or quick, but shoot.
You're going to see this person tomorrow.
Go.
Austin Maliolo starts coaching at Albany CrossFit. It's like a big deal for us.
Because Austin's coaching?
Because Austin's coaching, games athlete, right? CrossFit's on this, you know, explosion. We've got a games athlete coaching at Albany CrossFit. Day one, we're like, hey, we're going to do Fran to celebrate. Like, Fran, you know, back in the day, that was like, oh.
We just did it every Tuesday.
You know, it's like, hey, we're doing the big deal workout today. We're doing Fran. So I remember he's coaching his first class, and I'm hanging out with Caleb, and we're watching. And he's got, like, Donna and Laura and Kathy, like all of these women taking class. And he's,
I do love the fact, and I don't want to give you credit for this, but I do love the fact you still know all of their names.
They still hit me up. They're still like,
oh, okay.
I don't mean like they're sliding into the DMs. Yeah, I'm it, just Kathy. Saying, like, I stay in touch with a ton of them. So anyway, we're watching Austin teach the thruster, and he's like hyper focused, over coaching. How important it is to pull down on the bar.
Oh, that is important. So important for Donna and Kathy.
To get fast into the squat, to
for
come
sure.
back up.
Faster.
And I'm like, Caleb, these faster women better. Are going to get like 12 minutes on Fran. And he's teaching them like the eccentric. But it was like, no. And I remember watching these, like, what is he talking about? You know, because this is probably 2010 now. Yeah, the first year.
Nobody even
the
gives
games.
A shit about the games. At
no,
this
but
point.
At this
point.
No, no one at the we cared that it was Austin. They didn't,
right?
And but Caleb and I had realized at this point now how important fun was. Like Caleb and I were off the charts fun when it came. Like this is we went in the
it's
other
really
direction.
Weird because you're zero fun now.
In the gym when I'm coaching, I'm a lot of fun. The other 23 hours, not so much.
That's fair.
But Caleb, it was a party all day long there. Then Austin comes in. You got to pull down on the bar. We're gonna get this, you know, 2 minute Fran. Point is, like, he
keep
missed
those feet
it.
Together, butterfly pull-ups.
Yeah. Donna, dude, butterfly pull-ups. She has a metal rod in her back. She, like, literally, I'm imagining Donna.
I'm not laughing at Donna's metal rod in her back. I'm laughing at the fact that, like, Austin would just didn't care about that.
Donna, yeah, she's amazing. You know, somebody please let Donna know. And But it was just, it's like memorable for that reason. I'm like, oh, he doesn't understand coaching.
So I think this will be fun, right? So Nate, you can participate here.
Nate 10.
What would be Happy if birthday, you're if way. You're and you guys speak as CrossFitters too, right? So like, what would be what would make a like what would make for a good class? Like, what? Give me one thing.
Oh, one
go
thing.
First.
Church music, Christian rock.
Definitely gotta have fun.
Like, got okay. So what would that? What would that mean?
What's fun?
Hold on. Yeah, yeah. What does that mean?
A prayer.
Okay, so names,
that's
right?
Good.
If you say names, Cody, what would be something else?
I want to like be able to interact with like the other people in the, that are in the
okay,
class.
Okay, so some
right?
sort of community or social interaction.
Question of the day type of thing.
Some sort
yeah.
of social interaction. What would you like to see?
Get to it quickly. Like, don't make me stand around listening to you talk at the beginning.
Being timely, right? So like good, like fast transitions, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and just, you know, getting us moving quickly.
Right.
Like, hit your whiteboard brief and move on.
Okay. I would want to see some sort of – I'd want to see all of those things and then throw on maybe we do some strategy with regard
Ooh.
To like, who, how do I attack this workout?
Ooh, let's do another round.
Okay.
Let's do another round.
So round two. Okay. So
okay.
One, okay, so
specifics?
Be more specific,
Taylor
right?
Swift.
So what music, when, and where?
Creed. Okay.
I thought you were going to say.
I'll take that class.
I thought you were going to say Nickelback.
Can they hear? Can they
but
hear
it doesn't
you?
Matter. Nickelback.
Nickelback, great second option.
No,
but 90s
he said. Yeah, no. Nate said Creed.
no, no. Scott Stapp.
Cody, well, you go.
I want to learn something.
Okay, so there would be an adequate Ooh. Amount of teaching inside of the class.
My turn,
okay.
My turn. I want to do like a burn around, a wad build up. So like
a test round.
Yeah, just to like get the nerves out.
Okay. I would want to be adequately warmed up, and I would want some time on the back end to shoot the shit, like during the cool. I like cool downs.
So we
I
can
like
combine those. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So
cool, but this we can do this 10 more times.
We could,
and all of those fit into one class.
Correct. And so this is the point. But what we're all speaking right now from the standpoint of
the member,
a participant.
Yeah.
Right. So now to create the ideal class experience, you layer on the technical aspect to all of these things that we already know people would want inside of a class, right? So it's like deliver all of that and do it at the level of a red shirt, which is like, hey, I'm going to teach you a bunch of shit that you've never heard before. Like I'm going to teach you very quickly, you know, and in a fun way, like how to set your damper setting as we do, you know, like rowing
for teaching for
right
for Cody and
right
by
for teaching
the way,
right? I'd be like hey he's I've like I don't the... even know I was like all right everybody go down to you know more options go down to dampers select damper setting and then you're gonna see a little box there and just start pulling on it and then I want everybody to tell me what their number is right and then it's like oh I got 178 and I'm like bring
you
it down from
Cody's
10
playing the fish
bring,
game
yeah
there.
Yeah bring bring it down from 10 Donna right like go I want you to go to 5.5 so ladies 115 guys 125 and like what does this mean I'm like I'll tell you later but just make sure it says one of those two numbers right. That's teaching. So I'm like, hey, by the way, every time you get on a rower, you guys should do this. They're like, oh, I never do that. I didn't even know this was a thing. I'm like, great, don't worry about it. So then that would be teaching, right? And having fun. People overlook that. You know, and then if I did want to play the fish game, I could play the fish game and teach technique at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or if we're going to do the social component that that Cody was talking about, like, let's do a partner workout. We're going to do the fish game or we're going to do the 100-meter game in pair, the rolling 100-meter game in pairs.
Insert fern hitting.
100. First try. Cool. So here you go. Nate got that on camera. First time, every time. On the money, baby. On camera. On
Same
camera.
Clip every time.
Every single time.
Or, and by the way, we got a great 90s hip-hop playlist coming
correct,
at you.
Correct. Right. And... So and then you can think about different ways to like where how would you layer in because I know you've talked about this before but like you can layer in different genres at different points in the class. Mm-hmm. So general warm up is 90s, right? Like specific warm-up is the 80s. Like, you get into the workout, that's EDM, right?
And people line up when it's like all 60s yeah. are coming.
And then the cool-down is solely reserved for Nickelback. But the it's
look
just
at this
the best songs of Nickelback is just complete silence.
The other person that I just went to Italy with, she went to a Nickelback concert I told 2 weeks ago.
Did I tell the story? I've told this.
You've told it before, yeah.
We're going to take the team to a Nickelback concert.
No, we went. Nickelback came into Albany CrossFit, had a blast, and they gave us tickets, and it was like the best concert.
I want to know, when did hating Nickelback become a sport? Like, they're not a bad band. Everybody loves to hate Nickelback.
I would tell you this. If you asked me, never. I knew every single Nickelback song.
That's not shocking to me at all.
You would know them too. And they also did Friends in Low Places. Like, they did some fun covers. Like, it was the loudest concert I've ever been to, though.
Speaking of concerts, I just saw St. Paul and the Broken Bones in Austin last weekend.
I've never heard of them.
It got a little weird at the end.
What is that?
They have an avid. There was like licking of things, and there was like it got weird.
What's the name of this band?
St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
I saw you. You were just like
everybody has heard
video.
Some of their music. You just might not have known.
Are they like horns? Do they have horns?
They do have.
Yeah. I thought so.
It's an 8-piece band. Yeah, but they're legit. They're great. Paul, the lead singer, he can belt. They've been a band for like 11 years, like a long time. But anyway. We're not talking about concerts. So, but all of these things are
favorite concert.
Are Kid Rock. They're all looked at through the lens of the member, and we're not saying that it's like we're playing the pizza game for an hour,
right? Which I hate that game.
I hate that game. I'm saying that I'm considering what the member's experience is in combination with what I know to be good coaching.
Right, and also with the understanding, you know, not everyone's likes are going to be other people's, right? So cool. Well, I want to play
Jenny Orr calling her.
Yeah, that's right.
We should bring her on the podcast.
You know, but
you should.
Some people may love the pizza game, other people don't.
Right. So, but again, this is all the things that I want to put in there. And when you're crafting this class, the second component of this is like. One is I have to look at it through the right lens, which is the opposite lens of us as a coach. So I need to look at it as a consumer, which is like, now the second thing to create an ideal class experience is like, we've talked about this before. It's like, it's gotta be binary. Meaning like everything that I write in there has to be a yes, no. Now this part can be a little bit tricky because when people are like, well, what about presence and attitude? I'm like, We just outlined a bunch of things that if I did them even done poorly would be presented or would be experienced as somebody that has good presence and attitude. So names, fun, meaning like people having laughter, the coach facilitated some sort of social interaction with the members. Like all of those things would lead me to believe that you had really good presence and attitude. Okay. So if you can start to dissect what these things are, and then it just become a yes, no. Did they use everybody's names? Yes or no. Was there some sort of social component to the workout or to the class in any way, shape, or form? That could be, you know, a question of the day. It could be a partner warm-up. It could be a partner cool-down. It could be a partner workout. It could be all sorts of stuff, right? Those are all binary. Those are all yeses and nos, not like how did Jay feel about it, or what version of that thing Jay would want. It's just, did they do it in any fashion, good, okay, or poor? They get to check the box. And if you can do that for every portion of the class. Now, and then in order to create that, then what you have to do is just, then you have to get everybody on board with what that is, meaning like the team. You got to show the team, be like, yo, guys, like this is what we're trying to hit. This is the target. So in order for the team to be on board with getting evaluated, they have to know what the criteria for evaluation are. This is, if you check that box and everybody understands what the grading criteria are, this is when nobody will have a problem with it. This is, I don't know if this is good or bad. This is why people struggle with the level four. They don't truly understand the grading criteria.
Right, they see the topics, but they don't understand what they mean.
Now,
but this is also why when we talk about giving regular evaluations, both box owners and coaches are like, I don't want to get evaluated, and this is stressful. And all. It's like, not if it's clear.
Correct. Yeah, meaning like, hey, we start on time. What's on time mean?
15 minutes before class.
What does start the class on time mean? Because I would, so again, I would say, be like, hey, how far should they be there before the class? You say 15 minutes, and I say maybe 5, as long as you have all your other shit done. But you should be at the whiteboard, mingling, just roaming around 5 minutes before class. Maybe you're there 15. If you're there, if you're opening the facility, 15 minutes. If you're coaching the noon, and there was a 10:30 class that ended at 11:30, I don't need you there. I don't need you standing at the whiteboard 11:45. 11:55. Just kind of greeting people, writing names on the board, shooting the shit. So that would be one where I'm like, that one, that could be a coin toss. But we start at noon.
Sure, but even that aspect of it is clear for your staff versus my staff. And then specifically, hey, when that clock strikes zero.
But my point with this, and this is a good conversation, is there are certain things that are there's just gray, depending on the scenario. But what's not gray is we start on time. We start at noon. Regardless of what you guys agree, either unofficially or officially, you need to be there before the classes. We start on time. Class starts at 12. It doesn't start at 12:01. It starts at 12. Okay. Now, why is this important? And this is important when you're like giving the feedback. Give me any number of reasons that a coach, and Cody, you can chime in here, that a coach would start the class late that could be considered legit reasons to start the class late.
Hey, no one was here at noon. So the first person showed up at 12:03. I started.
Okay, take that one out, but like give me some other stuff in there.
Maybe they were mingling ahead of time and they got caught in a deep conversation.
Okay. What else would they be doing maybe before class that would cause them to be late?
Checking people in.
There you go. Okay. So all of these things.
I like how he's like, we have to get the right answer.
Yeah, no, right.
That's only in his head.
Well,
I'm sweating over here now.
What I'm trying to expose is that you two have no idea what the fuck you're doing. But those two would be, meaning a coach could give that response, being like, hey, I got caught up. I was trying to talk to Dawn about her thing, and then I started class late. And I'm like, I understand how you could justify starting late because because you were having that conversation or because you were checking people in. But we still started late. And this is the point. Because when I outline that this is objective, it's not like it's okay to start late. We start on time. Why you started late, now we can reverse engineer to more systems and processes so that that doesn't happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, okay, yes, I saw that you were checking people in. We need to consider how we check people in moving forward because we start classes on time. We don't start classes late because we're checking people in. We start classes on time, checking people in or not. So then I can start to unpack this and come up with solutions for how to improve both the coach's ability to navigate the class and the member's experience. Because whether people get checked in or not, your members don't care. They want class to start on time. So if I start the class 3 or 4 minutes late because I was checking everybody in and they lose 3 to 4 minutes of the class and don't get some of the specific warm-up or some of the cool-down or they miss the test round, they don't see that as a legitimate reason to start the class late. We started late. And for me as a participant, if I see somebody if it's like 12:01 and we've not started, I'm now annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, we're going to have to eat that somewhere else now. And we don't even know where.
Yeah, or worse, we're going to go long.
Correct. And the person coming in behind me is going to get messed up. So this is why you have to make things binary. But number one, so that when I'm setting standards, there's nothing worse than an unclear standard. Can we all agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't even think that's a standard.
But that's my point. But if you think about the way that most people would evaluate or create an experience of like, it would be, there would be a lot of like wiggle room. Like we would have a debate on like whether we would do it this way or that way. And I'm like, you have to take all that stuff out. And it has to be binary. Now, it doesn't mean it has to be not useful, right? But it has to be binary. And then on top of that, you can layer in the more stylistic feedback, which is like you can put as much of your opinion or your guidance or your recommendations in there as possible. But the bulk of that should be you did it or you didn't, right? We started the class on time. We ended on time. Binary, right? We did a general warm-up, a specific warm-up. Doesn't matter if it's good, bad, short, long, whatever. It doesn't matter. We did them, okay? Because now even if done poorly, but you checked all the boxes, we could agree the glass would probably be okay. It might not be the best glass we've ever seen, but it'd be okay. So this is why it has to be binary. And then where you really get to dive into the weeds is the stylistic feedback. It's like, hey, Jay, I saw that you know, we're trying to do the Bergner warm-up, like the full Bergner warm-up, but like this workout's a little bit too long for that. So you probably next time maybe use the abbreviated version. Like take out the snatch drops and some of that stuff. Like they're not necessary for today. We're not squatting. It's a power snatch. So, you know, take that for future reference and use it that way. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, right? Because like you ate up 4 more minutes than you needed to and stuff like that. So, and then it was evident that you had to steal that back from the cooldown, right? So like if I can contextualize all this and now I can give you feedback that like, hey, you did the thing, but there's a better way to do that thing based on what the outcome was for the class. Because this other thing over here, you did miss, but you missed it because you were doing this version over here, but not really as well as you could have. So as a coach, just trying to unpack those, or the person giving feedback, trying to unpack those, all of this comes back to, because when I miss something over here, it is the client is negatively impacted, right? So everybody can think of somebody who would be grumpy if the warm-up is too long or too short, or the cool down didn't happen, or there was no test round, or they didn't get a chance to go to the bathroom, or there was not enough time for loading, right? Or the coach didn't understand stimulus, so we had to time cap somebody. Like those are all real scenarios. All of those can be built in and standardized with wiggle room for people to add stylistic, you know, variations of running a class into every class, so that every person that walks in there has a good time every single time they walk into the gym, because that's your number one retention tool. You have to run a great class. That's that 50-50 model that we have. It's just like operations on one side, your service on the other side, right? If your service is just okay, I don't care how good your operations are. It's not going to matter, right? I want to pair the two together.
You know, is this something that is built at the top and trickles down, or is this something like you want to bring your team in on this to like, hey, you know, what do we want this ideal class experience to be? Is this something that it's like it's just you, and it's like you lock yourself in a room, it's like deep work, boom, this is what I want for my affiliate. Now I've got to get my coaches on board so that we can go through and we can do these evaluations. Or is it like I need to bring in, you know, the key people on my team into a room, let's all sit around, have a powwow, and decide this is what we want our class experience to be at my affiliate?
Ideally, everybody would be involved because they're more likely to have buy-in at that point. But your job there as the leader is to set the framework, right? So not necessarily to dictate what goes in that list of things that we want to achieve. Like I just did before. I was just like, I asked you guys what you wanted, right? I teed that up and you're like, I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see this. I'm like, great, cool. But I framed it, which is like, this is for the client, right? What does the client want to see? And then all four of us put our inputs in here. And I'm like, cool, now that's the list. We can agree on most of these. Maybe we have a disagreement on one or two. And at which point, if like we can't come to some sort of objective agreement here, well, then the answer is take it out. If it's unclear, it's unclear. So take it out. Maybe you put it back in later, maybe not. Like nothing is forever. So if you want the team to have buy-in, give them buy-in. Like let them be part of the process, because now they understand the grading criteria. And the secondary effect of this that I've always seen is like nobody gives a shit when they get an eval. Nobody cares if they were notified beforehand. It doesn't matter. They know what the criteria is, right? Stand over my shoulder, stand in the corner, have a notebook, or don't have a notebook. It doesn't matter. I know what you're grading me on. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be an open book test. It's not intended to be a pop quiz. And when people get the pop quiz, they get pissed off. And I would argue rightfully so. That's a gotcha game and it doesn't work. It should be an open book test. You know, is the Eric Preston is like, catch people in the act of doing good. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do for your coaching staff. How would you do that? You would give them all the fucking answers. Just do this and this will be a fucking great class. And the feedback I'll give you will be awesome. Where this can get difficult is as your class gets better and better and better, you will have to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. So somebody submitted their ideal class experience to me the other day. And typically they just submit the blank sheet that I can look at. I'm like, okay, everything here makes sense. It's good. I'm like, digitize it. Maybe don't, whatever. But they got one. They sent me one that was filled in. I was like, oh, shit. All right, here we go. Let me see what this says, right? And at the end, it was like, hey, no feedback for, I'll make up a name, Jenna, whoever. She ran a perfect class. And I was like, okay, so here's the feedback for you.
Tell
no,
Jenna.
No, it wasn't. There's no way it wasn't.
For sure.
That's not
but
a thing.
But also, if it was, if you thought that, let her know.
But it's not, right? Yeah. So this is the challenge of the feedback, which is like you have to find something. And that doesn't detract from somebody running a good class. But if you really want, going back to like how do you level up the coaching staff, I always have to be capable of giving them some degree of feedback or area of improvement, right? Even if it's 1%. You got to find something and be like, hey, that you crushed that. We can still do this just a little bit better, right? And good people want that. And Chris Cabo was on the podcast, like, and she's given me more feedback than anybody on seminar staff because we worked together so many times. Not one time ever working with her, even in seminars, I was like, "This is the best seminar I've ever had." Did she not have some tangible, critical feedback for me? Never, not one single time. And she and I've talked about it. She's like, "That's really hard to do," because she's like, we work together all the time. You're really good at your job, like all those things. And I take that to heart. I'm like, I treat everybody the same way. And I'm like, you're crushing. My job is to make you crush more. So I'm going to tell you that you're crushing. You're a fucking stud. However, I want you to be even better. So here's what I need you to do.
Well, and that's what we say about evaluations. They should be inspiring to your coach by telling them these great things about them, but then also pushing them forward. Getting them better.
And it's okay if people fail. Meaning, like, it's okay if it didn't go well. Like, I was talking to one of my coaches who didn't pass the level four. And he was, like, very upset. I was like, dude, I get it. He was like, I didn't mean to embarrass you. And I was like, you'd embarrass me? He's like, I'd be embarrassed if you didn't. If you hadn't wanted to take level four. Mm-hmm. That would have been way more of a problem for me. I want people on my team who can put themselves out there, who can take their licks, and who will come back. And get better at that. I'm like, I'm proud of you for taking level four, dude. And for the record, you didn't do a bad job. That's just a really high bar. Really high.
Yeah.
So that's what I want. And he will pass level four. I have full confidence he will do that, right? He's going to regroup. We'll dig in on a little bit deeper. And these are the things that I'll work on. I'm like, hey, now you can't let that go. That lack of hip extension that I know you saw because I watched you stare at it, you got to say something. Like, it's not... Just because it was 90% doesn't mean it gets looked over. You have to address it. So that's where it becomes more and more and more valuable, where you can push them further and further and further and further and further so that their worst class, people still think they're a Jedi. That's the goal.
I love it. Cody, is it still live on our site?
The Ideal Class Experience?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's besthourofthirday.com/idealclass. Yeah.
Go check it out.
Anything else? Thank you for your input on the show. This has been great.
I'm learning a lot, like Cody and Nate.
Yeah. Cool. If you guys have questions about giving feedback, creating ideal class experience, we've done this many, many, many times. Please reach out. We've also, on this exact topic, there is an endless amount of content
in the knowledge,
which we got. Somebody hit us up the other day. We were talking about this before we hit record.
Honestly, we were blown away by the knowledge. We signed up to it, and I was like, this is it's the best resource I've ever seen for CrossFit related stuff. Not, and it's not even close. Like, I've signed up to everything ever, and it's not even close, honestly.
That's amazing.
I agree. And you've got time every day to just check out the one video. I mean, it isn't even my focus to be like, coaching is not my focus right now. And I still get time to watch the one video a day, and it's always good.
Yeah. And Pat Barber was a great addition, by the way. That guy's a weapon.
We did not. They were just like, yeah, we found this. And this is like the best resource for CrossFit coaching I've ever seen, ever.
They called Pat Barber a weapon.
We still don't know what that means, but he said it was Australian for fairy, but
hey, might be.
But these are all kind of the nuances of coaching. And if you guys have not checked out the knowledge, you should. I think there's like 500 hours of content in there at this point. It's a lot.
It's growing every day.
So there's content dropped in there every day, three to five minutes is most of it. Some of the other content is in there is longer if it's conceptual in nature and stuff like that, but we will continue to be plussing that up. So if these are things that interest you or you're interested in seeing what good variations of these look like, you guys should check out the knowledge, subscribe, free 7-day trial, give us some feedback on it. But the whole purpose of this, make better coaches, make better affiliates, but it starts on the floor, giving the people that walk in your door every single day the best possible or the best hour of their day.
Fitting.
Yeah, it's fitting. Good branding. Reach out. We're happy to help you guys out. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.